We're going to finish up where we started last week. God is a good God. This morning was awesome. Last week was awesome. Next week's going to be awesome. And the following week, we got something scheduled for the next 2 or 3 weeks on Sunday morning. Plus, we've got, I don't even know how many baptism services are scheduled in the next month. And we've got two renewal of vows. And so it's some good stuff happening. God is showing himself strong. If we'll trust him, he'll keep on showing himself strong. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, y'all getting kind of quiet on me. Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. You got your Bible, say amen. I love what it says right to start with. What shall we then say to these things? I mean, he's talking all kinds of stuff been going on in the church and in our own lives and stuff that's happening and how Satan's trying to get us. And we know that all things are working together for the good. And then he says, what should we say to the saints? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God, one more time, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If he that spared not his own son, which literally means he took his most prized possession. That word spared not means literally he took the most expensive thing he had. Think about it now, with the pearl of great price, when God talks about us, that we ought to think about him and his work as the pearl of great price, that we'll do everything we can to get that pearl and hold on to it. God isn't just telling us to do something he didn't already do. He spared not his own son. He literally gave the most expensive, spared not, it's an economic term, which literally means he spared not, he didn't count the cost. He gave the most expensive, extravagant thing, possession, I won't say thing, that doesn't sound right, person. Now, it wasn't a thing, it was a person, but still, he gave the most precious thing in his eyes, which was his son. And delivered him up for us literally means he took the most expensive thing that he had and delivered up means literally he gave it to us to mangle up on the cross. Wow. He gave us the most expensive thing in his eyes, spared no cost, and gave it to us knowing that we were going to mangle him up on the cross. Wow. So now, if he did that, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things or whatever we need? Who shall say anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, meaning you cannot change my mind. I'm persuaded because I've seen it time and time and time again. It's one thing for me to come to you and say something. You go, yeah, I know it's going to happen. How do you know? I just believe it's going to happen. It's another thing to say, wait a minute. I remember when this was going on and God didn't let me down. I remember this was going on and God didn't let me down. I remember when this was going on and God didn't let me down. He came through. I am persuaded by experience. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you're an awesome God. And Lord, we know, God, if you spared not your Son, if you gave us heaven's most prized possession, so that he could be delivered for our salvation at the cross. God, I know, Lord, that whatever we need in our life, God, you're there for us. And there's some amazing things you can do. And I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to see, to know, to understand, to trust you, Lord, in all that we do. And know, God, that you're going to make the difference for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, and then now, we started this last week, and just real briefly, of course, John 16:33 says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, pressure. That word tribulation means pressure. When you see persecution in the Bible, it means to be chased after. When you see tribulation, it means pressure. So we have persecution. We're being chased. We're being chased all the time by something. But we also have tribulation, which means we're under pressure. And the pressure is there to conform us to the image of the world. So Romans 12 tells us, don't not be conformed to this world, but you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So in your head, when you've got that word in there, it's a very powerful thing. And when it goes from your head to your heart, then a transformation takes place. So it's okay that we have this tribulation, this pressure. You cannot get a diamond without pressure. You can't get coal without pressure. You've got to have pressure. So thank God for, somebody said thank God for pressure. You may not like it, but it always yields something wonderful. Amen? So Romans 8 tells us to walk in love and patience and walk in more than just victory. We're walking in the love of Christ. So watch the defeated attitude. I'm gonna tell you that, and then we're going to go into how to get out of it, or part of how to get out of it. Defeat has become a defining characteristic for so many people in this world. Now watch this now. Defeat means to be overcome. That's what it means. It is an instance. It is an example. It is something that has happened in our life. Like Bethany was saying, Dad, I forgot the word she said. I weren't a loser, but it was something she said, I'm a mistake. I'm a mess up. And I said, no, Beth, you messed up, but you're not a mistake. You're not a mess up. You messed up. And I said, let anybody that you know try to tell you they've never messed up. Let any of them tell you. Matter of fact, I went and got her today and brought her to lunch with us, and she was so sweet. And she's been putting up some sweet stuff on Facebook. And today we had a good time. And I went and got her some stuff that she needed, and I carried her back to where she was staying. But y'all keep praying, because it's working. It's definitely working. But I keep reminding her that she suffered defeat, but she's not defeated. All right, same way with us. Defeat means to be overcome in a contest of battle or difficulty. And usually it can be in one or more areas of your life, but it's always a temporary setback. But a defeated attitude means to be overcome before the battle, before the contest, before the difficulty. I know people right now that are already defeated and never stepped on the battlefield. I have caught myself doing that, and I had to shake myself. Why am I thinking I'm defeated? I haven't even stepped on the battlefield yet. I haven't even raised my sword yet, and in my mind, I'm defeated. Got to stop that. Defeat is outward, it's circumstantial, but a defeated attitude is now, it affects every area of your life, and it's a total setback. Not temporary, it's a total setback, and it's not a circumstantial condition, it's a condition of the heart, mind, and outlook. So now, it's not meekness. Somebody with a defeated attitude says, I'm just meek. No, it's not meek. Meekness is perfect strength under perfect control. It's not humility. Both of these have to do with power restraint, but a defeated attitude, the power has been removed or been resisted. So here it is. The warning signs, we started last week. Exodus chapter 14, God's people at the Red Sea. When they saw the Red Sea, Pharaoh behind them and all the stuff blocked on both sides, they wanted to go back. If somebody's got a defeated attitude, they're not going to move forward. They want to go back. Look, I knew this was going to happen. I knew just as sure as I stepped up to the plate, I knew this was going to happen. So you got to watch that. Number two, Numbers 13, 12 spies came back, 10 gave a bad report. Now, not only do they want to go back, but now they're scared to go forward. There's a difference. They went from wanting to go back, but still moving forward. Now they're scared to move forward. Joshua chapter 7, God's people at Ai. God's people at Ai, they were at Jericho, and they saw it fall so quick and so fast. after they marched around the walls for 7 days and seven times on the seventh day. And so they thought, man, we got this. And so they go to Ai, not realizing that they had kept the sacred things from Jericho and keeping God's sacred stuff that he said he holds on to. That causes problems. When they get to Ai, they get whooped. People die. And so now, watch this. God says, go back. I know it's looking bad, Joshua, but go back and try it again. So watch this. A defeated spirit, number one, wants to go back. Even if it's moving forward, it always wants to go back. It's always looking in that rearview mirror. Number two, a defeated attitude or spirit is scared to go forward. Number three, in Joshua chapter 7, a defeated spirit is afraid to try again. That's Ai. Think about this. I told Bethany, I said, Bethany, we're going to defeat this thing, girl. We're going to win. We're going to win this thing. God's going to help us. And like I said, I'm not going to go into it right now, but when we talk to the lawyer, she really is looking in a good position, but some of those people are looking at 6 and 7 years in jail. You know, Bethany weren't in that. Bethany was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they know that. And so Bethany, bless her heart, is going to, she's still getting that, but she's not getting that. You know, and so Bethany, we got to pull this thing together. Here's your chance to make it right. Because she said, I've ruined my life, Dad. No, you haven't. Let's step up. Don't be afraid to try again. Again, all of us in here, don't be afraid to try again. When you fall down, get back up. I've brushed my knees off so many times. Oh, if you don't think you've ever made a mistake in your life, that's your first mistake. Amen. And what makes it easier for me to give other? What makes it easier for me to forgive other people is knowing that I have to be forgiven on a daily basis. It helps me a lot because I'm not perfect by any means. I know y'all think that I just walk over mud holes. And I have angels pick me up and I fly all around and all that. No, no, no. I'm human. I'm as human as human can be. I'm a man. And I got 5 kids and 9 grandkids. I can tell you what. It'll get to you sometimes. You know what I'm talking about with all the stuff going on? Not them. I love my grandchildren. They're beautiful. Matter of fact, you know, yesterday I was helping Daniel work in his bathroom, trying to help him get his bathroom built. But the grandbabies kept calling Pawpaw. And so I kept going in with the grandbabies because Daniel didn't need me at the time. I finally walked in and Daniel said, I'm firing you, Pawpaw. He said, Michelle said, but he's a great Pawpaw. He said, yeah, but Pawpaw ain't helping in the bathroom. I said, well, I'll go play with the grandkids then. He said, no, come on back. So he hired me back again. So God is so good. 1 Samuel 30. David had actually, he talk about a defeated spirit. David went and for almost a year, over a year, helped the enemy fight the enemy. The great David, the man of faith. He's gone and he's helping the enemy fight the enemy because he's scared of Saul. And now he comes back to Ziklag, 1 Samuel 30, and his people have been taken away, and now his men are so broken. They've wept till there's no other power to weep. They can't even weep anymore. They've cried till their eyes are dry. And they're talking about stoning him. Because not only has he got a defeated attitude, it's spread. Now, here it is. Watch. First, you want to go back. Number two, you're scared to go forward. Number three, you're afraid to try again. Number four, there's an internal breakdown. Here's the men that would follow David to their death, and now they want to kill him. Wow. The great David, the giant killer, found out he's got giants in his own life that he's having a hard time whooping. You know, a lot of times we find it easier to help other people fight their giants than our own. So, again, an internal breakdown. And then finally, 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha sends his servant out at Dothan. Go out there and get me some water. And he comes back in and says, you ain't going to believe what I see. He says, the Syrian king's out there and there's people everywhere looking for you. And he goes, there's more force than there is with them. go look again. And he goes and looks again. Now there's chariots of fire all over the mountain. So all this army is after him, but now he sees the chariots of fire. So again, wanting to go back, scared to go forward, afraid to try again, internal breakdown, and blind to the reality that God was there all the time. The Bible says if we're going to heaven, he's there. If we make our bed in hell, he's there. Some of us have made our bed in hell before. Haven't you made your bed in hell before? A place of rest is not a place of rest. A place what you think should be common didn't calm you. Matter of fact, it wound up hurting you. God was still there. You may not have felt his presence, but he was there. So now, warning signs of a defeated spirit. If I can't tell you how many of these you need to, if I'm going to give you 10 things. I can't tell you how many that you can count and as officially as a defeated spirit, but I'm going to tell you that if you've got these going on in your life, something's bound to be taken care of, giving you this defeated spirit. So here it is. Warning signs of a defeated spirit. Number one, you say, nobody cares about me and my problems. Wow. If you've got that in your mind that nobody, absolutely nobody cares about you and cares about your problems, then you've gone from defeat to now you're moving toward a defeated spirit. Number two, you think everybody is against you. If you've got in your mind that everybody seems to be against you, watch out. Because again, you're moving in that defeated spirit. And listen, that defeated spirit, remember that defeated spirit, you want to go back, you're scared to go forward, you're afraid to try again, there's internal breakdown within you spiritually, and you're blind to the reality that God is still there. So, number two, everybody seems to be against you. Number three, I am worried, not concerned, worried. I am concerned about a lot of things. I'm concerned about Beth. I'm concerned about my wife's health. I'm concerned about family members. But I can tell you what, concern and worry is two different things. Concern, I can give it to God and I say, God, you got to help me with this. I'm concerned about it. I'd be a foolish man not to be concerned about these things and try to be on top of it. But to be worried about it means now it's all that's on my mind. It consumes my mind. When I'm concerned, it doesn't consume my mind. When I'm worried, it consumes my mind. So now, I'm worried that nothing will work out right. Those three things right there, if you're feeling those three things right now, the red lights should start flashing that a defeated spirit is trying to take you. It may not have you yet, but it's trying to take you, and it's going to take you down if you're not careful. Number four, I feel that my life really isn't counting for anything. Wow. You know, I've seen a time where I'm thinking, you know what, am I even doing anything? You know, Lord, what's going on, Lord? I feel like nothing's working, nothing's there. You know, I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. And Satan would like me to focus on that one problem versus looking all around. And when I look all around, I'll notice as I look all around, there's a lot of things going right. I notice that there's a lot of things that we're doing right. Matter of fact, I know that people do care about me and my problems. I know everybody is not against me. You know, after Bethany, when she first, y'all knew about it before it went on TV. Y'all knew about it before it went on anywhere. I gave y'all about Bethany right to start with. You know, Daniel said, Dad, you think y'all ought to wait? I said, no, I don't want to wait. I said, we want to know right now. I want the church to know so they can be praying. And so a couple of days after she was arrested, I told y'all. So y'all could be praying because we're all family. I know y'all be helping me pray. So I never felt like this any time. I never felt like this. But I remember after she came out on Channel 9 and came out on Channel 7. And, of course, people on Facebook thought she had got arrested for trafficking heroin, and she didn't. She was charged with possession. Some of the others were trafficking and had intent to sell. And so Bethany didn't have that. And so I remember going into Walmart And I told you all about this Tuesday night. I go into Walmart, and people see me that have been my friends all my life, and they'd see me and go, like they're scared to say anything. I even seen some kind of walk away. And so when I see someone walking away, you know what I do? I follow. I tap on the shoulder. Say, how you doing, man? How's it going? And they go, I'm doing okay. And then they'll get all bum-fuzzled, and I'll go, you hear about Bethany? Yeah, man. And I find that's what's wrong. They're scared to death say anything because of Bethany. And I just say, look, God's got this. She made a mistake. God's got this. She made a mistake. Lord knows she decided she was going to go for the gusto. I said, DC and Daniel have actually done a whole lot more in their life than she has, but she swang for the fence and got it. Okay, it went over the fence. And so I get talking to people, and it's amazing, you know, again. And then I wind up ministering to them because I want to feel like my life is counting for something. How about you? All right? Now, number five. I feel that nobody really cares whether I live or die. Do you notice that a defeated spirit actually crosses over into depression? Y'all notice that? A defeated spirit, there's depression, there's a defeated spirit. They're actually like this. And so it's real important to understand and to see this, because when you see this, then you can fight back. And the way you fight back is not fight back to others, you fight back to Satan. You take God's word out and you stand on God's word. You find God's promises for whatever you're going through, and then you stand on it and you hold on to it. So then, defeat and depression will have to let go of each other, and you can find something good going on in your life. So now, number six, I wish my life were over and all this pain would cease. Wow. I think about over the years, there's been times when things have happened. You know, you're having a bad time in your marriage, you're having a bad time with your kids. And I honestly did not have this with Bethany because I felt God had this. God gave me an assurance right up front. He's got this. I can say that DC and Daniel a couple of times had me to where I was thinking, what in the world is going on? Or seen something going with other people, and I was thinking, you know what, Lord, it should be nice if the rapture would take place right now. It'd be nice if I could just get out of here. David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I could fly away and be at peace. But you know what? Isaiah said, no, we're going to have wings like eagles. We're going to mount up. And we're going to. Now, I was watching today. We were having, it was raining, and it was storming on the way up here. And all the other little bitty birds were hid. And while the other little bitty birds were hid, when I went by the catfish farm, guess what was out there fishing? Two beautiful eagles. The itty bitty birds were hid. They couldn't stand the weather. They all down hid in the trees. And here's these beautiful eagles riding down the road. By the catfish farm. Like close to the south side. And so I saw these beautiful eagles, and they're fishing. And I'm thinking, the other birds are scared to death. They're cold. They're wet. They're all, and here's these eagles. And do I want to be a dove and fly away, or do I want to be an eagle and dive right in there? You see what I'm saying? So this, I wish my life was over and all this pain would cease. I'm going to tell you, life is pain. And any promise of God. Y'all want me to write this down if you ever wrote anything down. The path to all of God's promises. This is a fact. A spiritual fact. The path to all of God's promises are always lined with pain. Always. If it weren't for pain, you wouldn't appreciate the promise. Now, number seven. This sounds like Donald Trump. I'm suspicious of others who don't agree with me. As soon as somebody don't agree with Donald Trump, he's ready to fight him and talk junk about him. All right, number eight. I seem to always be misunderstood. Number nine. I sometimes feel enslaved to my own sins. And number 10, I sometimes criticize other people too much. Now, if you've got these things going in your life, I would dare to say some of these you don't need to take, but just one or two of them. Know that depression and or defeated spirit is trying to get in there and trying to get you in your life. And so you're going to have to rise up and refuse to be defined by defeat. So here's how we rise up. And here's some scriptures. If you would like, I can make copies of these scriptures and give them to you. But here it is. There's nine of them. If you're writing it down, write these down. Here's how we defeat a defeated spirit. Number one, remember, I'm not fighting my brothers. I'm not fighting my sisters. I'm not even fighting the government. I'm not fighting Russia. I'm not fighting Iraq and Iran. We are fighting Satan. It is a spiritual battle. So, if I'm going to fight a spiritual battle, the way I fight a spiritual battle is with spiritual weapons. And the very first weapon that I use is the Word of God. Here's what we got to do. First off, when I'm defeating defeat, number one, and these are promises that you claim all the time, all during the day, claim these promises, hold on to them. Number one, Romans 8 and 38, nothing can separate me from the love of God. No matter how it looks, no matter how bad it is, I'm not going to be defeated. I may be defeated temporarily, but it's just temporary. I'm not going to get a defeated spirit or attitude because nothing can separate me from the love of God. He still loves me. If I feel like nobody cares about me and my problems, I can stop and say, wait a minute, God does. God does. And if you hold on to that, when you'll start, wait a minute, if God does, he's got some other people out there that doesn't. You know, Elijah said, I'm the only one that haven't bowed. And Elijah said, God told Elijah, said, I got 7,000 people that haven't bowed. I got 7,000. Wait a minute, Elijah, why are you thinking that you're the only one? There's 7,000 that have not bowed. They have not kissed Baal. Know that. Number two, Romans 8 and 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's got my back. I was talking to somebody last night, and they were talking about that they were having problems in their own family, and that they don't go here. There was another state. Somebody had called me, and they were talking about a problem they had with their family and somebody I knew. And as I'm talking to them, I said, well, have you let them know how you feel? That you had their back. And he said, they should know that. And I told him, a blessing not spoken is not a blessing at all. Yeah, but if you haven't spoken, if I don't tell you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you're. Right. So. Okay, so that's what this guy was talking. That's what this guy was talking about. This guy said, "I've been so busy," and I said, "Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you try this?" And they said, "What?" I said, "I want you to text that person. You ain't got to call them." And they said, "Well, just a text." I said, "I've got two brothers. My brothers told me when I started in this with Bethany that they had my back. They were going to be praying for me." And I said, "You know what? I've talked to one time since all this started. And I said, I've talked to the other twice since this started. I said, but you know what? I know they got my back. Why? I know they're busy. They got their own families. I know they got things to do. But here's what they do. Here, my one brother said, I'm sorry that you're going through this. And you just got to know, if you don't hear from me, I'm praying for you. So in my eyes, I ain't got to get a phone call from him every day. He don't have to tell me every day. He told me, I'm praying for you. And then I had to run into him at Dad's, and he said, I'm still praying. That's all it took. My other brother, we went to the lawyer Thursday. On the way to the lawyer, I get a text from my other brother, says, I'm praying for you, bro. That's it. That's it. Then I come back, and on Friday, he says, how'd it go? And I said, better than expected. He said, praise God. That was it. But I told this other guy in another state, I said, I want you to know that although my brothers, you know, and my sister doing the same thing. Now, my sister, she's more talkative than my brothers. And my sister has told me probably 20 times, but my brothers about once apiece. But I know that they're there because they told me they were. And I know that by what they do. So I'm not, you know, I don't think, oh, well, you know what? When y'all were going through something, I called y'all once a week. When y'all were going to say, I was seeing y'all text every day. No. I just know, like this other person, I told him, I said, if nothing else, at least tell the other person that you love them and you're praying for them. That's it. Leave it alone. Because some people, honestly, they don't want any more than that. Just leave it alone. Okay. So now, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, number three, Philippians 4 and 13. I can do whatever I need to do through Christ who strengthens me. Or you can look at it this way. I'm up to any challenge that Satan sends my way through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the power of God. He gives me what I need. Number four, here's the hard one. I believe the best in every person until proven otherwise. You've got to. Even the person that's hurting you, you got to believe the best. You got to pray for the best for that person. The Bible tells you to pray for them, but you've also got to believe the best until proven otherwise. Number five, John 5, 1 John, or little John 1, 1 John 5 and 4, know that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith, my faith in God, not my faith in people, my faith in God. My faith in people will sometimes get hurt. My faith in people sometimes just don't always work out. My faith in God's always there. I can trust Him. Number six, Hebrews 13 and 5. He says, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. He said, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. Now, why did he say leave and forsake? Because now he's talking about two different situations. I'm not going to abandon you emotionally, and I'm not going to abandon you spiritually. I'm going to be there for you. People will abandon you emotionally, they'll abandon you physically, but God will not. So when I've got that defeating defeat, I can defeat defeat because now I don't have to have these feelings that nobody cares. Everybody's against me. I wish my life was over. I feel that nobody really cares. I'm suspicious of others who don't agree with me. I always seem to be misunderstood. You know, now I don't have to worry about that because I can go to God. My faith is the victory. He's not going to desert me. And then Romans 8:28, God works all things together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God works all things. Now, there's a lot of things that happen in our life that's not good. Bethany getting caught up with the wrong people was not good. They took advantage of her. And so she even wrote on Facebook last night, you know, be careful about who you hang around with. You know, and Linda, of course, was writing back to her, and Bethany even wrote something that actually, when I saw it, I had tears in my eyes. And I said, tell her that dad's liking what he's seeing. I see repentance. You know, I see a repentant heart. Well, the same way, a woman being raped is not for her good. The death of a child is not necessarily for your good. The death of a mate is not for your good. But God is working in all these things. So He can take all those little pieces and He can put them together. I can sit back and look at the major points of my life, the major times of my life when something really was going on strong. You know, up until this point, I thought I'd been through some rough things, but I remember losing my mama, especially the terrible way that she went out of here. That was probably one of the most life-changing events I ever had, but it changed my life in a good way, and it changed how I ministered to people. Then, after I thought that, you couldn't get much worse than that, then I lose my wife. And again, I would not want to go through it. I would not wish it on my worst enemy, but I would not trade what I learned for anything. What I learned through this situation was priceless. You couldn't learn any other way. Again, I wouldn't want to go through it again. I've asked God, I said, okay, Lord, if you don't mind, I don't want to go through this again, okay? Linda's funny too because, let's see, both of my granddaddies, my granddad on my mama's side went through three women before he finally died. My granddad on the other side, daddy's side, went through, I think, three women before he died. And I've got uncles that went through two or three women. And my daddy's gone through two women. And Linda said, and I'm going, Linda's my second wife because of death. It's all just because of death. And Linda said, somebody's got to stop. Somebody's got to stop this somewhere. So she says, I'm putting a stop to it. She says, no more. no more. I said, okay, dear, I'm standing with you. Amen. No more. But again, God takes all the things. He takes the good, the bad, the ugly. He takes it all. You know what? If I hadn't been done wrong in my life, I honestly wouldn't know how to treat people. I learned more how to treat people after I was done wrong than how to treat people when I was done right. Why? Because if you're trying to learn how to treat people and you're trying to learn how to talk to people, if all you got around you is people that talk good to you and just instill good in you all the time, then honestly, this is going to sound rough, but I mean it. I believe this is what God means in His Word. If that's all you get is the people coming around wanting to love on you and all this all the time, the Bible says, woe unto them. Then everything's good like that. Woe to everybody speaking good about. Okay? Now, if all I get is good, 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 then I don't have a well-rounded life. And I really can't minister to other people until I've been through some rough stuff. Until people have talked rough to me, been mean to me, whatever. Then I learn how to get back up, how to have a good Christian attitude about it, not be defeated. And I learned how to handle people. And I honestly found out more going through the rough times than I did going through the easy times. It is so much better now. I think about people that go through things. And they'll tell me, man, I hated to have to go through that. I could not believe that person hurt me. I cannot believe that person died. I can't believe we had this sickness. And I ask them, don't you feel more rounded now? When my wife was dying, there was a couple of times, literally, I'm telling you, literally, as God is my witness, I'm riding down the road and God shows me two powerful, powerful visions. Visions. They were so powerful, and they were one was showing me what was going on and the other one was showing me how to handle it. If that weren't awesome, you know, again, I wouldn't want to go through it again. Never. But thank God for what I learned. Because now I'm well-rounded. And when God thinks I need to be a little bit more well-rounded, okay. And again, everybody in here, I'm going to tell y'all something that might upset you. Everybody in here has got rough edges. All of us. And do you know God, listen hard. this might not be fun to listen to, but it's the truth. God will send people in our lives to aggravate us, to serve as sandpaper, to sand off the rough edges. And sometimes that person is your spouse. Sometimes that person is your children. Sometimes it's your boss man. Sometimes it's a coworker. But God's using that person to sand off the rough edges in your own life. So now, number 8, Philippians 4:4-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Be anxious. Don't be so, that word anxious literally means to be so worried about the problem that it's the only thing on your mind and you can't even function because that's always on your mind. How can I tell when something's always on somebody's mind? It's because usually it's the first thing they tell me and it's the last thing I hear when I'm with them. It lets me know. And I do it myself. I sat down with my brothers the other day and my sister at my daddy's house. My daddy was down. And I found myself, there was something that was going on in the family. And I found myself, it was the first thing I talked about, it was the last thing I talked about. And I sat there and walked away and said, dude, don't do that again. You're the oldest son. You should be helping these people. Instead of helping them, you were just stoking the fire. If it's the first thing you talk about when you wake up, it's the last thing you talk about when you go to bed, and it's not God and His goodness, then something is consuming you, and it will destroy you with a defeated attitude. Be anxious for nothing. That means absolutely nothing. Then 2 Timothy 1:12 is the last one, and we're gonna pray. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. I know. I know who I believe in. I know. I don't doubt. I don't doubt it. I know God's got it. I know He's got my back. And just the other night, Satan was trying to get me all upset because of Bethany and that thing in the family. And I'm riding down the road, and right to start with, I felt my heart. And when I felt that, I said, whoa, wait a second. Dude, you know the answer. And so I literally pulled over on the side of the road, and I gave myself a sermon. And I used all these scriptures right here and some more. And I began talking about the Red Sea, and I began talking to me about everything. Looked in the mirror and said, boy, you better listen to me. And it was so amazing that I felt the Lord speak to me in my spirit and said, tonight you're going to find uncommon relief. And within 30 minutes, there it was. Question. Do you want to walk around like this all the time? Do you want to walk around with it on your mind when you wake up, on your mind when you go to bed? You can't think. It's got you blinded to everything. You're missing all the good things in life. You know, I remember hearing a little story about a little boy walking down one day, and he found a quarter on the ground. And he got so excited for it because he found a quarter. So from that time on, he walked and kept his eyes down because he found that quarter. By the time he got to the end of his life, he had found $5.55. He had found a whole bunch of washers. He found a couple of paper clips. He found a whole bunch of dead bugs. Stepped on some frogs while life was passing him by. A defeated spirit keeps you locked in to whatever that is that's got you. And it'll lock you down. Instead of saying, you know, Lord, I thank you. Matter of fact, I even thanked Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you for this situation in my family. I thank you for my brothers and my sister and my aunts and my uncles. And I thank you for that crazy Uncle Coot of mine. Everybody's got an Uncle Coot. You know, Cooter, like on the Dukes of Hazzard, yeah. Everybody's got an Uncle Cooter, crazy Uncle Cooter, you know. And I say, even thank you for him, Lord. And I say, because I know that in all this mess that's going on, I thank you for what Bethany's going through because I got stopped yesterday. I'm walking into Walmart trying to hurry up and get in Walmart and get out. And so I'm running in. Linda tells me to put a bag over my head. And so I didn't have a bag, but I just kind of walked in. And as soon as I got to the door, there was somebody that worked there. He used to work with Bethany. And it's an older guy, and he said, that's a bad thing about your daughter, isn't it? And I try and look at him. Here's what I said. Nope, it's a good thing. And he said, huh? I said, it's a good thing. I said, she's hard-headed. And I said, she will let people take advantage of her. I said, she's learning not to let people take advantage of her anymore, and she's learning not to be hard-headed. I said, it hurts. It hurts all of us. It's hurt the entire family. The pain has been unbearable at times, but you know what? It's a good thing. And I thank God for it. And he just kind of went, whoa. I mean, it's like, you know, and then I said, you know what? It's going to be fine too. God's got this. It's going to be fine. I said, I got a church family praying for us. I said, I've got other family members that's got this. I'm not afraid of any of this. It's going to be all right. Then he pops up and says, yeah, I talked to your sons. They said the same thing the other day. And I said, wait a minute. My boys have already told him this. You know, because me and my boys have been talking about it. My boys already told him this. Then he tried to get me to say something different. I said, no. You're not going to get me all upset over this. I'm going forward, trusting God. So, my challenge to you, whatever it is, listen to me carefully. Whatever it is you're going through that makes you want to go back, scared to go forward, afraid to try again, causes internal breakdown with you spiritually, causes you to even fight for the enemy, and blinds you to the reality that God was there. Whatever that is, whatever it is that makes you think nobody cares about you and your problems, that everybody seems to be against you, you're worried that nothing will work out right, you feel that life really isn't counting for anything, you feel that nobody really cares whether you live or die, I wish my life was over and all this pain would cease, I'm suspicious of others who don't agree with me, I seem to always be misunderstood, I seem sometimes feel enslaved to my own sins and my own attitudes, and I sometimes criticize people too much. If that is on your plate, and whatever that is that you think about when you get up, you think about when you go to bed, and if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're thinking about it. You're on the way to latching up, defeat with depression, and it's going to bring you down. Let God break it by using these scriptures. The Word of God will not return void. That's what the Bible said. It will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. Just like the other night when I pulled over on the side of the road and me and the Lord had a little preaching session and we went through these scriptures. And I'm telling you what, when I left, I felt good. I felt really good. Matter of fact, somebody stopped me and said, it was really funny because they stopped me and said, "How you doing, preacher?" And I said, "I'm feeling so good right now, I'm having to sit on my hands." They said, "Sit on your hands." I said, "Yeah, because if I don't sit on my hands, I'm going to clap them to death." And they said, "Wow, I hope I can feel that good. What do you do to feel that good all the time?" And I wanted to tell them, well, 5 minutes ago, I was on the side of the road saying, "Stop that. David, stop that. Don't you get caught up in this negative. Don't you get caught up in all this junk thinking nobody cares or this and that and the other. You step up and you believe God. God's got this. Nothing can separate you from God. If God be for you, who can be against you? You can do all things through God. I believe the best is going to take place. My faith is in God, is the victory. Because He said, I will not desert you or forsake you. He's working all things together for my good. I'm not going to be anxious about this. I know who I believe and I'm persuaded He is able." Wow. Try it. Next time you're tempted to get down over something, try it. And if you want these scriptures, and if you want them now, I'll go make some for you before you leave. I'll make some copies and bring them back out here to you. But hang on to these scriptures and believe God is going to take care of you. All right, let's pray. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can stop us from doing what you've called us to do. Lord, and I thank you, God, that we're not even powerful enough to stop what you want to do in our life. Lord, you can do it in spite of us. But Father, it sure is a whole lot easier when we get out of the way and we cooperate. A defeated attitude gets in the way and refuses to cooperate. Depression gets in the way. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us. To see, to know, to understand, to step out, step forward, step out on faith. Believe and trust in you. In the name of Jesus we pray, and the church said, amen. I'm going to make a quick trip to the copy machine, and I'm going to make a copy of this outline, and I'm going to give it to anybody that wants it because it's got these scriptures on it. Okay, so if you hold on, I'll be back. I shall return. That's right.